So let's move on to the next thing here. We're going to talk a little bit about bankroll management. So Rob, I'm going to start with you. We've talked about, how managing your bankroll is an enigma for everyone. I think the first thing we need to do is dumb this down because this is very similar to DFS. And I'm sick of fucking people even saying, like, what do I do with my bankroll? Because half of you don't even have a fucking bankroll. Here's what most of you fucking do. And this is what I do, so don't think I'm insulting you. You take a bunch of money and you fucking play on credit, or you have a cap on your line or your limit, or go to Bovada and you deposit, $500 or whatever it is, and you go and bet, and then when you lose, you go and put more in, right? Or you're doing it on your weekly paycheck. You're taking $200 and so you really don't have a bankroll. So Rob, talk to me about what a unit is, because we hear this a lot, as far as one unit. I don't use my units when I post my plays for everyone as much as, hey, I'm betting 1% of my bankroll on this one unit play. I do it more of a gauge so people can see which games I like the most, right? So for me, a unit is normally $1,000, right? So that, and I've told everyone that. It's just the way I quantify, because I don't have a bankroll. I just play until I'm fucking done playing. And Rob, talk to me about what a unit is and then how people should have a bankroll, whether it's weekly or monthly or whatever.
So to clarify, Tommy's unit is whatever his credit line will get him get down on a particular game. Like,
Which is anything I want.
whatever they will let him get down is what he will get down. So that's one unit. So for me, on the other hand, I have managed the bankroll for a very long time. And one unit is 1% of that bankroll. So the theory is, guys, that your unit will get bigger as you win. So, if I have a $10,000 bankroll, my 1% is much different than my $5,000 bankroll. So as you're winning, you're increasing your unit size. As you start losing, your unit size starts going down. So to say one unit is $1,000 is not necessarily accurate, because assuming you're winning, it might be 1,500. If you're losing, it might be 50 fucking bucks, right? So it's important to keep that in mind. And Tommy's exactly right. And I've been Tommy G, I've been you, where it's just like, okay, I've lost my bankroll, which was $1,000. I've got another 1,000 because I got paid on Friday, right?
Right.
So, and that's fine if that's what you want to do and you want to establish that your unit is $100, right? That's fine. But in general, if you're saying you have a unit and you're betting on some sort of a strict mathematical plan like I do, then it's 1% of whatever you have, across your
And
board.
would you look at that bankroll, and then Preston, I want to kick to you on this too. Do you look at your bankroll? And I know your situation's different because you're very similar to my situation. All three of us are, where we're, money isn't, I'm not trying to be a dick, but I'll be a dick. We're rich. So, but in your situation, Rob, if you were advising a newer player, would you advise them to look at their bankroll on a weekly basis? Would you advise them to look at it as like, here's my seasonal bankroll, here's my money for the whole season? I personally think having a set amount of money that you decipher before a season. Maybe it's a half season, maybe a season's too long, or a quarter of a season. But saying, all right, for the first month or first 2 months of baseball, I got $1,000 that I want to bet. So 1,000 divided by 8 equals 125 or whatever the fuck the number is. And that's what I'm going to bet per week. I can go a little above that and a little below that. But if I go above it this week, I need to go below it next week. That's kind of how I taught people in the stock trading world to manage bankrolls. But what do you think, Rob?
Yeah, so I'm a little different than that, but this is an interesting story. So when I got started betting baseball, which, believe it or not, I'm a lot older than a lot of you fuckers, not Tommy and Preston probably. Well, I'm older than you, Preston.
Yeah, for sure.
We're older than Preston.
It was like 1999 when I started betting baseball on sort of a serious level. And I started with like, $3,000 that I had won playing poker, and I went bankrupt. Like, I lost my full $3,000, and I did that by doing all the stupid shit that we've talked about here. And I replenished that with like $2,000, and I like to think that same 2,000's in my bankroll somewhere, because I started getting more disciplined with what I was doing. So it just, guys, it depends on what your goals are. And Tommy has said this a million times in DFS. It's like, are you trying to spike a GPP, or do you want to just grind out cash games? So yeah, I'm not going to judge you on your bankroll at all, but that's just sort of what it is. Like, just decide what your goals are, how you want to do it. If you just want to fire, fucking fire. Like, it is what it is, but I don't do that. Like, it's just a strict percentage for me.
And Preston, anything you want to chime in on bankroll, any of the stuff we just talked about?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of good stuff there. I think in general, so I'll be the first to admit too, like, I think most people have gone bust that have tried to do this and that are doing it regularly and professionally, so to speak. Now, like, there's always a few of those times. For me, before I was ever betting sports, I was playing poker. That was my thing. And I probably went bust online, especially like 4 or 5 times before I finally, you know, sacked up and said, all right, this is my allotted amount that I can actually play with. And I need to, like, you know, space that around. If I'm playing, you know, 50 cent, $1 blinds online, no limit hold'em, and how many tables at one time I can play, how many tournaments I can enter, and what that ended up becoming. And so when for people that don't know my background, the reason I even had money to start betting sports is because I had a pretty big amount from my poker bankroll when Black Friday happened and we couldn't play online anymore. I took a good portion of that and put it into sports. And so I already had that kind of, I guess, like, bankroll management, just to put it simply, figured out to an extent. So it applied to sports and I've been able to stick to it. I decided I'm a little more conservative, I think, than most people, but I'll bet a smaller percentage per play. But I also have a bankroll depending on each league. So I'll have a bankroll for college football, which is my biggest one. I'll have a bankroll for college basketball that's separate, a separate amount. I'll have a bankroll for the NFL. And so I've adjusted accordingly. And getting back to your question about how often you're adjusting, like, you're right, Tommy, where each season you need to have an amount that you know is your bankroll for that league that season. But for me, it's, you know, it's easy for football after the weekend, all your plays happen and you see, okay, I started with $10,000 and I'm at 12,000. You're doing yourself a disservice, especially if you think you have an edge and you're going to be profitable long-term, not to adjust the $100 a game to $120 a game, right? If you're saving 1% or whatever. And so you need to be doing that, I think, every weekend as your bankroll adjusts. If it goes down, right, then you shouldn't be upping your bet from 100 to 120. If it went down to 8,000, your bet should be $80 now. You know, so it's varying depending on where your bankroll is at. And I adjust mine just after every weekend and per league. So I'll have a separate one for college football, separate for NFL, and then obviously separate for each of the basketball leagues. And I even have a separate bankroll I allot for futures only, because that's tied up for months. Mm-hmm. And so my futures money that I just have to basically invest for 4 to 6 months is smaller per bet. Granted, I wish I could get a lot more down, because I think there's actually bigger edges there.
100%.
But it's smaller because I have to tie up $40,000 or $50,000 for like 6 months that I can never touch again until the tickets or the season win totals or the futures actually cash, where I can bet a game on a Saturday and I know I'm going to have that money back or gone within a couple of days. So
the other thing, perhaps just to chime in, not to cut you off here, but
no, you're good.
You know, with those series, the best thing, I was actually just talking to Night Ghost about this today, how I wish you can get more money down on series, because there's so many in-game, what I would call game theory, you know, opportunities, and what you guys would call value opportunities. You know, basically, you know, if you have a bet, like if you had, I don't know what the Celtics score even is right now, and they're up 15. Like, if I had Celtics plus 400, there's so many opportunities if I had 20 grand on that or 10 grand on that to go and just pound the other side and bet the other team in certain spots to hedge my way out of it and really middle it too. So that's the frustrating thing about not being able to get as much down on series stuff for me.
Yeah, if you bet futures, like Preston said, and I won't speak for him, but it, you know, if he's got 50 grand in futures, I bet he doesn't end the season with like 20 grand in open action, because you can hedge off so much of it just depending on what you have down.
The Michigan, me and Preston both had the Michigan at, you know, 55 and 75 to one odds.
You fuckers didn't hedge though, right? Or you did?
No, I hedged out because I had the Villanova future too. So I was inherently hedged.
Yeah, I didn't do it until the middle of the game. So I decided not to hedge because it was a smaller bet for me anyway. I could only get – I was like chopping an account with someone who even had the 75 to 1. So I had – I think it was $125 on it at 75 to 1. Mm-hmm. So for me, it didn't even matter. But once I saw that Villanova was like 1-for-9 from 3, Michigan hadn't missed, and Villanova was only down, I think, 2 or 3 points, mm-hmm. I bet I'm in game and laid like 200. Anyway, I locked up like 3,300 either way, and I just decided that's good enough. And it felt like Villanova was going to run away with it. And luckily I was right. But I didn't actually hedge until that point. But I decided in game I just might as well take my money and run, because it felt like Nova was just vastly superior. But you're right, like in the sense of season win totals or futures throughout a season, there's times – it's like when you're betting a season win total, we don't need to get into this much because it's, you know, we'll talk about it when the season actually starts happening. But if I like a team, say, like under 9.5 wins, but then it's coming down to one game on a Saturday in week 13 or 14, you know, I liked it before the season started. And if I can just get out of it in week 13 or 14, I generally will. if it makes sense and it's not like I'm a huge favorite to win or something. Right. If it's like a coin flip game and it's going to determine if you win a season win total, like why risk, you know, all your futures money that you had tied up just on one coin flip game that you don't think has an edge at that point in the season. So there's times where I will get off, whether it's hedging because I'm trying to make money or lock up profit, or just to get off bets I had made before because of the season win total where, you know, at this point they've won nine, this is the last game of the year, they could either land 10 or land nine. I'm just going to, you know, I don't want to have that much gamble. It was similar to me. I bet Boston Celtics series -160. And in game seven, I didn't want to have a 2.6x swing basically on one game in a game seven where, yes, Boston was the favorite. They were -210 or something on the money line, but I wanted to bet some Bucks series off just to kind of limit my exposure there because, you know, in a game seven, anything can happen. Whereas before the series was potentially seven games left, you know, I like Boston's chances, especially when they're up 2-0. So there's times like that where I'll play back for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I think so. I mean, we could all agree that we basically manage our bankrolls very differently, you know, and there's no right or wrong, really. And this is a kind of a bold statement, I guess, Rob, because, you know, everyone seems to think their way is the right way. There's this fucking author envy that goes through the industry, whether it's DFS or gambling or how to, you know, whether BVP is real or BVP is fake and this is real and this is fake. And, you know, you should manage your bankroll like this. The bottom line is, if you're doing any level of bankroll management, we're going to do a million fucking educational videos and classes on this stuff, you know, throughout the next few months now that we got this team together. I have a strong background with it in stock trading. Rob, you've been doing it forever in Preston. You have to. You live in fucking Vegas. So bankroll management is the key to everything. But the bottom line is I learned that I need to manage my bankroll at least a little better than I was when a bunch of Italian dudes showed up at my door and beat the ever-living shit out of me when I was 20 years old. So we all learned the hard way. Rob did it by – I would have much rather bankrupt $3,000, Rob, than take, you know, knees to the face from Vinny and Joey. But, you know, like we all learn at some point. And the key is, you know, just try and do something when you're not in the moment. Like really when you're not even in season. That's when you should kind of build your plan. Because once the season gets going, even if you have a bad day today or a bad week last week, that still lingers for weeks going forward. That's not gone just because the day ended. So the only time you're really rational about like Cheetah's college football season is really before the season starts. And that's the time to sit down and say, okay, last year I got my fucking head handed to me. This year I'm going to do this right. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to spend X amount of dollars, buy the Cheetah guide, get all the chats and all that, right? So that's a dollar amount that's coming out of your bankroll. That $40, $80, $1,000, whatever the fuck it costs, take that off. Say, all right, if I lose $3,000 this football season, I won't kill myself. The rent will still get paid. The mortgage will still get paid, all that. All right, there's your number, right? 3,000 minus the guide, minus this. Maybe I have another service. Maybe I'm doing this. Now, I break that down into months, 1,000 a month. And just if you even build something like that, even if you're not following it, at least you have something to hold yourself accountable to when you start getting out of control, Rob, where, all right, I didn't follow it, but at least I know what the fuck I did wrong so I can fix it. You know, the worst thing is not making mistakes. It's not knowing what the fuck happened so that you can fix it in the future, Rob.
Tommy, I've had kids come up to me and say, look, I lost my entire bankroll in one night.
We had Ryan come do it fucking 2 weeks ago.
I mean, Jesus Christ, fellas, listen. That's on you. I don't give a fuck what happened. That's on you. You can't blame teams. You can't blame Tommy G. You have to have some understanding of what your risk tolerance is. And this is all risk management. Like when we're talking about bankroll management, we're talking about unit size, we're talking about risk management. And that's very different for me. It's very different for Tommy. It's very different than Preston. It's like, how do you manage your risk? And we all do this on a daily basis. Like, you don't bankrupt your house. You don't lose your car. Like, you understand how to manage risk on a daily basis. It's just when you get in the gambling world, like, you just lose your shit. Like, just manage your risk accordingly, and you'll be fine.
Right. Preston?
Yeah, I had a thought, like, 2 minutes ago, and then Rob was talking about don't blame anyone. But if you are going to blame someone.
You know what I do, Preston, by the way? Whenever Rob talks, I just hit mute.
So you don't forget.
No, just because I hate
sure he's not to hear me.
Yeah, it really has nothing to do with my
phone. Oh, this is what it was. I remember. All right.
There we go. My voice brings back.
So a lot of people think bankroll management is important because when you're losing, you don't want to lose at all. But it's almost not similarly important, but it's still important that when you're winning, you're still like accounting towards like your bankroll management or your plan going into it. I had someone a couple of years ago that was getting all my plays. It might have just been two seasons ago. And, you know, week five or week six, we were already up like 20 units. And for whatever reason, that week he decided to bet everything five times the amount he was betting before. Yeah. So we were plus 20x, and we lost like 4x that week, and he was literally even. Everyone else is up 16 units. Yeah. And so something like just don't get too carried away. It's fun to see you're betting plus 7 and it's closing plus 5, and it's fun to see when it actually wins too. And it's fun to see that happen over the course of a month, and you think, well, this is the greatest thing. There's no way it can lose. Then it will. So you always need to be, I guess, adjusting and sticking to your game plan that you do set before the season starts.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely critical. Win or lose, yeah. Yeah, Rob, I saw you shaking your head in disgust.
You and I just had this conversation, Tommy, because you've been on the absolute sickest fucking heater of any human I've ever seen in my life from basically NBA season or NCAA season to today, right? Like,
yeah. It's been a good 3 months.
Money. And you are the god that is Tommy G, but I had to remind you, like, dude, this isn't natural. Like, this doesn't last forever, so let's not go buck shit crazy and just piss it all away, right? So it's just important to remember, and Preston makes a good point. So,
well, I mean, I think what you just said there is even almost more important, and part of the reason why people need to get involved in our community, or any community, honestly. I mean, I think we have and are about to assemble the number one gambling community that anyone can find, because not only are we successful, not only putting our money where our mouths are, you know, a lot of these gambling touts that you see out there, I guess I would be the tout, right? Like the guy who's going to be, you know, forward facing on Twitter and fucking talking a lot of shit and saying, come buy our package. You know, that's not going to be Preston. That's not going to be Rob. But I mean, the whole point about it is even me as the, you know, I hate to say it, sorry, RJ, but as the RJ Bell, or as that, you know, person in the company, right? The person who's forward facing, I'm throwing down with you guys, you know, like, and I'm going out there putting myself on the line. I'm not saying, oh, you can do this, you can do that. But the thing I need too, and my results have gone up drastically since meeting Rob, and I know they've already been great since meeting Preston, and that will continue. We're only a month into this relationship, so I'm sure it'll just get even better and better. You need a community. You need to surround yourself with people where I can call Rob openly and say, I just got fucking drilled for five figures tonight. And then Rob can turn around and be like, what the fuck are you doing loading up that much on this game? And I was fucking 14 in my last 15. And then he can fucking talk me off a ledge. I can talk him off a ledge, vice versa. And we're starting to get to that point in the chat where it was total, and Preston, you were here for the beginning of it, when it was total romper room chaos all the time. And now at least we have a core group of like half those guys. Yeah. That when we're not in there, we'll tell the other guys, what are you doing betting your whole bankroll on one day? What are you doing betting 10 units on a game? You know, things like that. Like, a community is vital.
One example I use, and to stick with the college football theme, that I think this really goes in tune with it, is having that community. And the perfect example, and I've even talked about this like years in the past, but whether you're winning or losing on a Saturday in college football, the Hawaii game at midnight, or in the East Coast, or sometimes even later, the 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Like, if you had not bet that yet up to that point, and it's like 10, 15 minutes before kickoff, like, if you're down 10 units that day, like, you always are betting the Hawaii game, right? Or even if you're up,
it's fire.
Like, heat check, got to guess Hawaii first half. Like, everyone's betting that game when really you had no edge, you weren't going to bet it otherwise, you shouldn't be betting that game. And right. So I've had people I like talk with, like, that's always the joke game because it's so late every Saturday night or whatever. But you need that community helps as far as just keeping you in check, whether it's going nuts, betting too big because you're losing or winning. It definitely doesn't hurt. So if it's a community like we're going to have here at Guru Elite in a chat, or just people on Twitter or actual friends you're texting, whatever, it definitely is helpful, I think.
Yeah. One of the first times I met Tommy, like we had known each other like a month, and he calls me, hey, Rob, what do we got in this Hawaii game? And I said, you're not a real gambler unless you've tried to bet fucking Hawaii at 11:45 on a Saturday evening.
If you've never fired a Hawaii game before, you are a rookie. Like, that's the thing.
That's true, though, too. Like, where I'm not betting Hawaii, if I'm not going to bet it on Thursday, I'm not betting it Saturday night. But I've definitely been there where I'm hitting the Hawaii game, and then I'm hitting Hawaii second half. Same with college basketball, Hawaii games. It's definitely happened to everybody.